Okay, we're learning Sotah Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we saw a Gemara that the Kohanim are not allowed to lock off Kishrei Etzba Oseim. They're not allowed to put their fingers down until they turn away from the Tzibor. The Pashtus is that the fingers are part of the Maisa of Nesias Kapayim, they're part of the Duchening. Yet last time we noted that when Rashi gives us all the rules, or Rashi tells us the Seder of Duchening, Rashi says that they are kofafing kishreihem imrotzim. If they want, they put their fingers down. You get the impression that it's not an absolute obligation. Perhaps the fingers is just some tosefes. It just adds on to the bracha somewhat. We noted that the nesias kapayim itself, raising the arms, is an absolute requirement in the duchening, no? We quoted a tshuv of the Nodi Yehuda, that if you have a Kohen who, for whatever the reason, had Tommy John surgery or something and can't raise his arm, so such a Kohen is not allowed to duchen. Even if the Kohen can establish like a contraption that he's hanging his arms from the ceiling, still he's not allowed to duchen. You have to raise your arms. That is the Lashon in the Torah. Right, Vayisa Aharon es yadav. Aharon raised his hands. That is duchening. Duchening means raising your hands. But the fingers is part of the duchening. If you want it, imrotzim, you can flip it down. Ad kan the comment of ad kan the diuk that we made from Rashi. Zuck the Gemara here. Give me 1 second. So then the Gemara goes on, right, and the Gemara says, "Amar Reb Zeira." Amar Reb Zeira and Reb Chista. I don't know if you can see the place, like the fourth line. Ein Hakori Rashai Lekros Kohanim Achi Yichlo Amein Pihat Zibor. The Kore cannot call out Kohanim until the Tzibor finishes Amein. Right, the Chazan says, "Hatoshim Chol Chana Elahodos." Then they answer, "Amen." And the Korei is not allowed to call out Kohanim until the Tzibor finishes Amen. What we spoke about last time is that Rashi notes that Korei means the Shaliach Tzibor. Right, Rashi says that the Shaliach Tzibor is the one who calls out Kohanim. We pointed out that the Tosfos in Brachos and Daf Lamed Dalet and the Tosfos HaRash over here say no, the Korei is somebody else, not the Shaliach Tzibor. Let's just do a pause and a semicolon. We had a discussion in the Gemara about if you have two Kohanim, you call out Kohanim. What happens if you have one Kohen? What do you call out? Kohanim. So some say, my daughter Breria is saying, that you scream out Kohanim. That is one approach. However, the standard approach is that you don't say anything. There is no approach in Judaism that if you have one Kohen, you call out Kohen. That does not exist in normative Judaism. What does exist in normative Judaism is that you don't say Kohanim, which means that after Atoshim Cholochana Elohados, they say Amen, and then right, you'll go immediately to the bracha that the Kohanim say, Ashekin Chambik Dushasol Sha'aharon, etc. The Ramah writes, and the Mishnah Berurah endorses this practice, that what you should do is, you should always call out Kohanim, but you kind of cheat. Because what the Chazan is supposed to do is the Chazan is supposed to say, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Baruch Hu Abraham Shulashas, right? Supposed to say that in an undertone. That is the official language that is found in the Arts Gros Siddur, which is the officially endorsed Siddur of Orthodox Judaism, as we know. So in the Orthodox Arts Gros Siddur, so it says that the Chazan says Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu in an undertone, and then he gets to the word Kohanim, and he screams the word Kohanim out loud. Does our Gemara agree with Arts Gros or disagree with Arts Gros? Thoughts, ladies?
It says, right? Let's read the Gemara slowly. The Kore cannot call out Kohanim until they finish Amen. No? The Tzibor, right? Yavatov Shemcha Lachon Elohodos. The Tzibor is going to say Amen, and then they say Kohanim. You get the impression that Kohanim is coming right after that Amen. If you say Elokeinu Elokei Avosein in an undertone, so then you do not have Kohanim immediately following the Amen. And if that's the case, that Kohanim is not immediately following the Amen, so that seems to be against our Gemara. So I sent you to Amar Makom in the Shita Mekubetzes in Meseches Menachos. Any of you had a chance to look this up? It's a somewhat obscure source. But the Shita Mekubetzes in Seder Kodshim is not printed as a separate volume. It's printed on the daf. It's printed on the page. So Shita Mekubetzes in Menachos on daf Memdale, the Shita proves on this Gemara that the practice of saying Amen, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, is not a proper practice. Nonetheless, what happened later on in Judaism is that everyone began to do this, and that is because of the Maharam of Wittenberg. The Maharam of Wittenberg effectively instituted a practice that everyone Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, and somehow that became standard practice in Ashkenaz. Good, ladies?
Does he explain why he instituted saying that?
Absolutely not. One thing we know about Maharam of Wittenberg is he tried to be very frum. He tried to be Yotze all the Deos. So it could be he's doing this to be Yotze all the Deos. In other words, there's a question. What do you do when you have one Kohen? Do you say Kohanim, or do you not say anything? So he decides, I'm going to be Yotze all the opinions. And to be Yotze all the opinions, Maharam of Wittenberg says, okay, no, okay, I will say no. Aye, it's against the Gemara. Maharam likes to be Yotze all the opinions, no matter what. This idea that Maharam likes to be Yotze all the opinions, Rav Schechter points out, is elaborated on by Yekshuv and the Mishkan of Yaakov. You know, there's a tefillah called Tefillas HaDerech. Tefillas HaDerech is something that you recite when you travel between two cities. If you go a mil out of a city, you recite Tefillas HaDerech, correct? Ka'adrach v'chazka sakana, you say Tefillas HaDerech. Well, Tefillas HaDerech is an interesting prayer because it begins, Yiratzom mofanach Hashem alkeinu kevaseinu shetolichinu shalom v'satzidinu shalom. Right? It's a little bit strange. Because it's a bracha. And brachas are supposed to begin with the word Baruch Atah Hashem. So how come Tefillas HaDerech does not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem? And fundamentally, there's actually some Rishonim who say that Tefillas HaDerech does begin with Baruch Atah Hashem, but that was not mainstream Judaism. Maharam of Wittenberg is very frum. And Maharam of Wittenberg notes that what you should do is you should try to make Tefillas HaDerech a bracha smuch al chaverta, and therefore you should make a barem ne mezonos, or you could do a shahakal, you could do a barei pri hagafen, although if you're driving and doing a barei pri hagafen right before Tefillas HaDerech, you have to make sure you're drinking grape juice. Now other things that get a barei pri hagafen, or else you get arrested. But the point is that Maharam of Wittenberg is saying that to be frum, I should make Tefillas HaDerech into a bracha hasmucha l'chaverta. I should make Tefillas HaDerech, right, into the type of bracha that doesn't have to begin Baruch, because it's coming right after a bracha that began Baruch. So I say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bayre Priya Gofen, Yiratzum Afanecha, Shetolichin, Shalom, Satsidin, Shalom, etc. The Mishkan Yankov points out that that is Maharam of Wittenberg trying to be Yotze all the Deos. Here also, Maharam of Wittenberg, I'd say, is trying to be Yotze all the Deos, and because he's trying to be Yotze all the Deos, that's why the Maharam said Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, although, as the Shita Mekubetzes points out, this seems to be against the simple reading of the Babylonian Talmud in Sota 39b. Is that okay, ladies? Okay. So, Zok the Gemara weiter. V'ein ha-kohanim rashon l'haskel b'bracha ad sheyichle Dibor mipi hakarei. The Kohanim cannot begin the bracha until the korei finishes his dibor. Rashi learns that what this means is that the korei, meaning the shaliach tzibor, finishes saying Kohanim, and then they begin Baruch Ata Hashem Ashek Shem Kedushaso Sha'aharon. That's why Rashi learns the Gemara. Right? They can't begin their bracha while the chazan is still saying Kohanim, when he's at the end of the Nim. They can't begin the bracha. They have to begin the bracha right after the chazan finishes the Amen. Right after the chazan finishes the Kriya. That's what Rashi learns. The Ran. The Ran in Maseches Megillah on page Tes Vav Amid Beis. The Ran disagrees with Rashi. And the Ran understands that this line in the Gemara, the line that says that the Kohanim cannot begin the Bracha until the Korei finishes, what that means according to the Ran is that the Korei is the Chazan, and the Chazan calls out, Yivarechecha, and they respond, Yivarechecha, meaning according to the Ran, there is an institution that the Shaliach Tzibor calls out every word for the Kohanim.
Yes,
that's what the Ran says. So when we say that the Kohanim cannot begin the bracha until the dibor begins, until the dibor is concluded from the korei, what that means is that the shaliach tzibor finishes saying yivarechecha, and then they say yivarechecha. We noted last time that nowhere in Judaism does Rashi have an institution of a makri. Nowhere in Judaism does Rashi say that the chazan has to call out every word for the kohanim to read. That does not exist according to Rashi. Ad kan, what we pointed out. According to Rashi, there is no inyan of a... There's no inyan of a makri.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, Temi. I give you permission to ask a question.
Okay. So according to the Ran, it would be that this... Is he saying that the Gemara itself is referring to the Kohanim only starting after the Shliach Tzibor says Yivarechecha?
Correct.
And it's not referring to Kohanim, that calling out.
So according to the Ran, the previous line in the Gemara of Ein HaKori Rashai Lekros Kohanim... That line in the Gemara refers to the one who calls out Kohanim, which for the Ran is not the Shaliach Tzibor. But the next line that says, Eina Kohanim Rashayin L'Haskel B'Bracha Ad Sheyich L'Dibor Mipi HaKorei, that Dibor is the word Yivarechecha. That's the way the Ran learns the Gemara.
So he's reading the Korei is two different people then?
The Korei is two different people. That's correct.
Okay.
Which is a slight problem, but okay. Ms. Racklin, how is Judaism in your parts?
Thank God. Just a practical question, or like a mitzvah question. In Israel, when they do Racha Kohanim, and it's not as like fancy schmancy as when we do it, is there also someone who says, is the chazan also says every word first?
Yes. They also say, they happen to do a lot quicker because we have a tune. They don't have a tune, no? They just do it. Because if you're duchening on a Tuesday, right, it's not as exciting as when you only duchen on Yom Tov. Okay. But yeah, they also have a korei. Although according to Rashi, there is no korei. Now, what is the lumdus behind this? So again, I'm going to make a suggestion.
I have
If you like it, I'll be happy. If you like it, you might get points on an exam. If you don't like it, it's not such a big deal. It's just something that Schwartz said. It's not found in any classical Svarim. But we pointed out in our youth that there's a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosis and Chagiga as to whether the mitzvah of duchening is a mitzvah only on the Kohanim, or is the mitzvah of duchening a mitzvah even on the Kohal, no? We pointed out in the Sefer Charedim famously says that the mitzvah is that the tzibur should receive a bracha. That's the famous Sefer Charedim. And we pointed out that Tosfos agrees with that. We'll discuss this a little bit more in a couple of minutes. That Tosfos agrees with that. But Rashi disagrees. Rashi there says that no, there's no inyan for the tzibur to get a bracha. Hanir lofi anias daiti. It seems to me that according to Rashi, there is no such thing as a makri for duchening. Because the idea of a makri is that I feel a responsibility not to get messed over. I, as a chazan, I, as a tzibur, I want to make sure I get my mitzvah of duchening. So therefore, I'm going to be very punctilious. Right? That's a big word. I'm going to be very careful to make sure that I'm saying every word, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, so that they get every word right, and therefore I get my mitzvah. But according to Tosfos, that there is no mitzvah on the kohal to get a bracha. The mitzvah is only that the kohanim get the bracha. So the kohal, according to Rashi, there's no mitzvah on the kohal to get a bracha. And therefore, since according to Rashi, there's no mitzvah on the kohal to get a bracha, so the chazan doesn't care so much if you get every word right or you don't get every word right. It doesn't matter to the chazan, because I have no mitzvah to duchen. It's the kohen's mitzvah. If the kohen messes up his mitzvah, big whoop. That's what Rashi's going to say. So Rashi's going to say that there is no kore, there is no makri, there's no one who says every word. But according to the Ran, like according to Tosfos, maybe the reason why there is a need to say every word is because there is a mitzvah on the kohal to get a bracha. Does this resonate with you, ladies? Ms. Rachlin, I'm never sure if you raise your hand, does that mean that you're going to argue or that there's a slight chance that you might actually agree with what I'm saying?
It means something different every time.
Keeping me guessing.
It's not that I disagree, it just sounds harsh to me that, like, oh, we don't care because it's not our mitzvah, so, like, big love if they give us a bracha. Like, they're doing it for us at the end of the day, even if it's not a mitzvah
so,
on us.
Again, I agree with you, they're doing it for us, and I do care, but I'm not going to go out of my way and insist that I say every word to make sure there's no possible mistake. Because if there is a mistake, I don't lose all that much. Right? I don't have that much to lose, even if there is a mistake. That's the basic idea that we're trying to get at. Okay. So let's go on. According to the Ran, there is this an idea of a makri, and the Ran reads, the kohanim cannot begin the bracha, ayshayichla dibor, mipi ha-korei, until the korei, the chazan says yivarechecha. Ve'en ha-tzibur rashayin la'anos amen, aisha tichla bracha mipi ha-kohanim. The tzibur can't answer amen until the bracha is done. Ve'en ha-kohanim rashayin la'haskel be-bracha acheres, aisha yichla amen mipi ha-tzibur. The kohanim cannot begin another bracha until the tzibur finishes saying Amen. Now, the Kaihanim cannot begin a bracha until the Tzibur finishes Amen. You get the impression that the moment the Tzibur finishes Amen, the Kaihanim can begin another bracha. They can begin Ya'er. But that don't make sense if I'm a Ranju. Because if I'm a Ranju, the Kohanim cannot begin Ya'er until the Chazan says Ya'er. Right? So the Lashon HaGemara, that the Kohanim cannot begin another bracha until the tzibor finishes amen, that's very difficult, because the kohanim have to wait until there's a makri if I am in Ran land. So this question is addressed by Rabbi Joseph Caro in his classic work, The Bet Yosef. And in the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Caro says, you know what, you're misunderstanding this Gemara. When the Gemara says that the Kohanim cannot begin another bracha until the Tzibor finishes Amen, the other bracha does not mean Ya'er. The other bracha means Ribono Shel Olam, Asinu Mash, Gazarta Aleinu, etc., etc., etc. All the things, right, that we see the top line of Lamed Tesem at Beis, that you should do Mashiv Tachtonu Hashkifa Ma'un Kadshecha, that thing. That's considered the bracha. That's the way the Beis Yosef defends the Ran. Okay. Nice idea. Beautiful. It is somewhat problematic because the Ribono Shel Olam Asinu Mashe Gozarta Aleinu is not really a bracha, no? It's saying, God, we did what we should do, now give us blessing, right? That does not meet the regular rules of bracha. Bracha have rules, I say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, it starts with a bracha, it finishes with a bracha, those are rules of bracha, right? This Ribono Shel Olam does not really sound like a bracha, and that is a difficulty in the Beis Yosef. Ms. Engel, was that a hand of yours I saw up, or that was just an attempt at a stretch? Something. Okay, thumbs up.
We did say, wasn't there someone else when we were saying what was the bracha that Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua instituted, and we said maybe it was the Ribono Shel Olam?
Yeah, the Meiri had that idea. And we said, we love you, Meiri. You're a wonderful guy. You're amazing. You're awesome. But you know what, Meiri? That don't make sense, because it's not really a bracha. I think this is exactly the question we asked on the Meiri when we encountered his shita way back when in our youth. Okay. V'amar Reb Zera, let's just go on. Reb Zera says a little more. He says, V'amar Reb Zera, Reb Chisa, by the way, the Sefer Mincha Chareva points out a really interesting idea, which I never would have noticed in a million years. The every single Amora who is found here on page 39b in Masechta Sota happens to be a Kohen. The whole Gemara is about Birchas Kohanim, and all of the people who are speaking are Kohanim. Okay, you might not think that's as cool as I think it is. I think that's cool. Weiter. So then Reb Zera says, V'am Reb Zera Reb Chista, Ein HaKohanim V'ashayim L'Hachzir Peneim Min HaTzibor Ashi Yaskol Shaliach Tzibor B'Sim Shalom. The Kohanim cannot turn away from the Tzibor until the Chazan begins saying Sim Shalom. You can't turn away until the Chazan begins to say Sim Shalom. The Rashi presents it in the middle of this long Rashi about the Seder of Duchening. I don't know if you could see where I'm pointing, but according to this long Rashi about the Seder of Duchening, so Rashi writes that the Shaliach Tzibor, they turn away before the Shaliach Tzibor begins Sim Shalom. Others say that they turn away while the Shaliach Tzibor sings Sim Shalom. Okay, it's a detail machlokes. We're just noting what Rashi says. Weiter in the Gemara. Ve'enan Rashan Lakar Raglehem Ve'leilech Ad Sheyigmar Shaliach Tzibor Sim Shalom. The Kohanim are not allowed to leave the Duchan until the Shaliach Tzibor concludes Sim Shalom. Apparently, Sim Shalom is somehow connected to the Bracha of Duchening. V'yasei Mucha Shalom is the apex of Birchas Kohanim. The Bracha of Shalom is connected. Until the Bracha of Shalom is over, you can't leave. The Pashtus, however, is that right after Hamavarech Es Amo Yisrael Bashalom, the Kohanim can run down. The Mishnah Berurah, however, in Se'if Katan Samach, Mishnah Berurah says that, you know what, the Kohanim should not run down right after Mevarech es Amo Yisrael b'Shalom, because the practice is that we say Yasher Koyach to the Kohanim, no? There's an old practice. No one knows exactly when it began, why it began. But there's a practice that when the Kohen duchens, you say Yasher Koyach. It's a little bit problematic, no? I'm offering you Yasher Koyach for something that you have to do. It's your mitzvah. You have to do it anyway. But nonetheless, the Rashash and Shavias points out that sometimes we say Yasher Koyach to people who do something that they have to do. Yasher Koyach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, well, since the practice is that we say Yasher Koyach to the Kohanim after Duchening, so therefore we don't want the Kohanim to go down from the stand until the Kaddish is over, because we don't want people to speak in the middle of Kaddish. Speaking in the middle of Kaddish is a really bad thing, and therefore the Kohanim should stay up there until after Kaddish. Okay, we're going to pick up from the Amar Reb Zeira, Amar Reb Chisso, pick up from here in a few minutes. Right now I want to do the Tosfos, but before we do the Tosfos, we should just look at Rashi. Rashi, Dira Maso, Ad Sheyichla Amein, I don't know if you could see where I'm pointing, Rashi, Ad Sheyichla Amein writes that the Amen of Birchas HaTorah, and all these things, says Rashi, is because of Trei Koli Lo Mishtami. Rashi says that the reason for all of these dinim, the reason why the Chazan has to finish Kohanim before they begin the Bracha, the reason why the Kohanim have to finish the Bracha before the Tzibur says Amen, that's all because of a rule in Halacha of Trei Koli Lo Mishtami. Trei Koli Lo Mishtami means that two voices are not heard properly.
No, I was thinking that.
If you have one voice, so you could concentrate on it, you could pay attention. But sometimes, I don't know if any of you have tried to listen to group singing over Zoom. Have anyone tried that? It is cacophonous. It is painful on the ears, because there is a teeny bit of a time delay, no? And I hear one guy a tenth of a second before the other guy, and it makes me want to pull out whatever hair I have left, right? Trei Koli Lo Mishtami is that type of idea. Trei Koli Lo Mishtami means that if you have a bunch of people who are doing something, so you're not going to be able to focus on it, because it's going to be off by that millisecond, half a second, whatever, and you're going to lose your concentration. That's Trei Koli Lo Mishtami. Zukt Rashi, the reason for all of these dinim, why you have to finish the word Kohanim before they begin the bracha, and the tzibur has to finish amen before they say yivarechecha, etc. The reason for all these dinim, zakt Rashi, is because Trei Koli Loi Mishtami. That you can't hear two voices properly at the same time. That's what Rashi says. Okay. It's good. It's a nice Rashi. So Tosfos at the top. Ad sheyichla amen. So Tosfos, did any of you have a chance to get through this whole Tosfos? I see. Okay, maybe a little bit. No one is giving me an official thumbs up, which comes together with, what's it called? It comes together with, Zoom, but I trust that you did some reading of the Tosfos. So Tosfos begins that ordinarily in halacha, we say that there are rules of answering amen. No? There are rules of answering amen. You're not supposed to say what's called an amen chatufa. You're not supposed to truncate your amen. You're not supposed to say amen. Say the nun also. You're not supposed to say an amen yisoma. You're not supposed to say amen that is removed, divorced from the bracha, that's separated from the bracha. The amen should be right after the bracha. And the Gemara also tells you another rule of amen is that you are not supposed to answer amen yoser midai. Right? Tosis invokes this over here. It's the third line from the top. Right? Kala ona amen yoser midai eino ela toe. Right? If a person is like, amen, that's a mistake. That's not proper. Amen is not supposed to be recited for that long. So the halacha is that when it comes to making hamotzi, I make hamotzi for the tzibur, for the people at my meal. So when I make hamotzi for the people at a meal, I'm not supposed to begin to cut the chal until they finish amen. But the halacha is I don't have to wait for the stragglers, no? I don't have to wait for that guy, the schlepperdicker guy, who's shuckling and is saying amen with all of the kavanos. Amen, by the way, is gematria 91, which is the same gematria as Shem Havaya is 26, and Elohim is 65, no? Yudke Vavke and Elohim is gematria 91. Amen is gematria 91, no? You ever thought about that? That's in Shulchan Aruch, actually. Right? People think that the gematrias were invented by Hasidish Rebbes. Some gematrias are invented by Hasidish Rebbes, but they're not nearly as good as the gematrias that are found in Shulchan Aruch. So now, the halacha is that if I am making hamotzi, I should not make my hamotzi until after the people finish saying amen, but I don't have to wait for the stragglers. However, by duchening, Zok Taisvis, Pirishri, Afo Gavda Miriam Parak Shlosha Sha'achu, the Enabot Sevashai Livtsoa, Achichla Omein Mipi Ha'onim, Vam Rev Chista Mipi Rov Ha'onim, Dochala Omein, Omein Yosem Midai, Enola Toya, Miola Ingen Birkos Kohanim, Kevon de Mishum Lishmoahu, Lo Mishtama, Kozman Sha'onin, Dahavlohu, Trey Kali, Kolos Ha'oinim, V'ko Kohanim Ha'mevarchim, V'lo Mishtami. Says Taisus, that's true by the Bruch of Hamotzi. There you only have to wait for the majority of the people. But by Duchening, you have to wait for every single person. And you have that guy who's showing off his voice in the back of the shul, and how beautifully he could say Amen. You got to wait for him also by Duchening. Because the idea of Duchening is that everyone is supposed to hear it, and as long as there are Trey Kali, as long as there are two voices, and you cannot hear it, so then Trey Kolo Mishdami, you're not going to be Yotze Duchening, and therefore you have to wait till everybody finishes. Ad Kan Divrei HaTosfos. Well, then Tosfos is bothered by Akash. If it's based on Trey Kali Lo Mishdami, so how do two Kohanim ever duchen? No? How do you ever have two Kohanim go up? If you're worried about Shrei Koli Lo Mishdami, how do you ever have two Kohanim go up? So Tosis answers, well, you know what? Shrei Koli Lo Mishdami means when they're saying different things. They're saying two different things. One is saying Amen and one is saying Yivarechacha. Two different things, Shrei Koli Lo Mishdami. But if they're doing the same thing, I don't apply the rules of Shrei Koli Lo Mishdami. So two kohanim who are duchening, and they're all saying, Yivarechacha, Hashem, Yishmerecha, they're all saying the same thing. I don't apply the rules of Shrei Kali Lo Mishdami. That's basically what Tosis concludes at the end of answer one. Mizraklin, Shetichya, Liyomim Aruchim Ulishalom. Amen.
Amen. Two questions. First, the kohanim do say it like staggeredly. Like listening to Bracha Kohanim is a little bit like listening to singing on Zoom.
Yeah, so you should really, the congregations would be better served if they had a conductor. And the Shaliach Tzibor, for us it's only Musaf on Yom Tov, should really do it in a way that gets the Kohanim to all do it together. Or else, yes, it does sound cacophonous. My understanding is, and we'll talk about this in a second with Intosis, that even if they're off a teeny bit, if they're saying the same thing, that does not present a problem for Tosis. That does not present the problem of Trei Kol Ulam Mishdami, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So that was your first question.
Why doesn't Tosfot quote Rashi if he says the same thing?
Why does Tosis not quote Rashi if he says the same thing? I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. Probably because Tosis is elaborating on it much more, and he feels that the idea that Rashi presents is pretty pashut. But you're right. I don't know why he doesn't quote Rashi. That's a nice insight. Yeah. Okay, let's go weiter. Fruma, how are you, by the way?
Good.
Baruch Hashem. Okay, just checking in. Now, in the middle of Tosis, though, he says, how come you have two Kohanim Duchen? Don't we have a problem with Trei Kol Ulam Mishdami? So Tosis answers, Al Mai Islach LeMeimar, Brachos Aydi D'Chaviv Olhu Yahavi D'Atayhu, Umishdami Trei Koli, Kida Omar Gabe Megillah, Karuha Shinayim Yatza, Gabe Ominami Yavudatayu, Rishdami Trei Koli. Now Tosis says an idea that the principle of Trei Koli Lomishdami is set aside on something that is chaviv. The Gemara Megillah says that you can have two Balei Kriya leaning the Megillah, because Megillah is very beloved for people. And because it's so beloved, even though there are two people reading it, Karu Hashnayim Yatza, because you're going to find a way to pay attention. Music on Zoom, it might be a teeny bit off, but if it's something really geschmack, if it's like Eitan Katz or whatever, you're still going to focus on it because it's chaviva. It's something that is beloved to you. Tosis is saying, and we know this halacha from elsewhere, that the rule of Trei Koli Lo Mishdami is suspended for something that is chaviv. And therefore, Zakh Taisvis, Duchening is also chaviv. Duchening is also very beloved. People love duchening. And therefore, we do not say Trei Koli. That's what Tosis suggests in this line. Comma, period, semicolon. Let's analyze. Good? Tosis says that ordinarily this rule of Trei Koli. Trei Koli would mean if they're saying different things. I, Phrektosis, if they're saying the same thing, shouldn't they also have Trei Koli? So Tosis answers that, no, if they're saying the same thing, and it's chaviv, then I do not apply the rule of Trei Koli Lo Mishdami. Same thing and chaviv, the rule doesn't apply. Comes along our dear beloved friend the Keren Ora. And the Keren Ora jumps up and down and he spits water nickels. And the Keren Ora says, Duchening! Chaviv! That's not true. Megillah is chaviv. How many times are you dealing Megillah, ladies? Two. Right? Once in the morning, once at night. Lay Megillah twice. Hallel! The Gemara says it's chaviv. How often do you say Hallel? The Gemara tells us, Kol Omer Hallel b'cho yom. Right? How is it mechayev from Megalif? You're not supposed to say Hallel all the time. That's actually one of the interesting discussions that comes up in the context of Hallel on Yom HaTzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim. Some of the poskim take that Gemara in Shabbos very seriously. That to say Hallel unnecessarily could potentially be a very serious halachic problem. Because if you view everything as being a miracle, that means that nothing is a miracle. Ha'omer Hallel b'chayom erizim mechari from Megadev? Right? Hallel is for really miraculous, wonderful things. Again, obviously, this is coming from the perspective of Yehud Medinat Yisrael is not so miraculous, blah, 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 blah. So then, maybe there's a problem with saying Hallel. It's Mecharif u'Megadef. But Zok the Keren Oira, this rule of Chaviv, which overcomes the din of Trei Koli Lo Mishdami, Chaviv only applies to something that is done occasionally. Something that is done all the time cannot be chaviv. How often do you duchen, ladies? Every single day if we are at home. If we're in Eretz Yisrael, we duchen every single day. So therefore, says the Keren Aira, it is not chaviv. Keren Ora understands that Chaviv is a function of frequency. And therefore the Keren Ora raises an objection on the entire Tosis. He says, you can't tell me it's Chaviv. It's not Chaviv. It happens too often. Now the Sefer Toras HaKena'os on Mesecha Sota. I actually have it over here on my shelf. If you want, I could show it to you like I could. But it's not that exciting. It just says Toras HaKena'os on the cover. The Taras HaKna'o says, Keren Ori, you're making an assumption. Your assumption is that the definition of Chaviv is something that happens infrequently. You're getting a bracha from the Kohanim. The Kohanim are taking a bracha from the Rebbeinu Shalom, they're giving it to you. And that bracha, like we spoke about, is such a wonderful bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you Parnasa, Yivarechach Hashem, V'yishmerecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you a bracha, right, for Parnasa v'yishmerecha, and the Parnasa should stay with you. I think this is something that we've noticed the last couple of weeks, no? Just having a bracha for Parnasa is wonderful, but sometimes you lose that Parnasa. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yarashem pan v'elocha v'chunecha is a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make you successful in Talmud Torah. Yis Hashem pan v'elocha v'yaseh mucha shalom, Targum Yonason says, is a bracha that you should be successful in your davening. These are wonderful brachos. Says the Taras HaKena'os, even though it happens very frequently, but it's such a beautiful thing. It's so special. So therefore, maybe the principle of Chaviv still applies. Okay, so let's just go back. Taisvis suggests that maybe by duchening we'll say we will not apply the rule of Trei Koli Lo Mishdami. People will pay attention to two voices because it is Chaviv. The Keren Ora asks Akasha. He says, Chaviv! Right? How is Duchening Chaviv? Duchening happens every day. It's not Chaviv. So the Taras HaKnai says, no, maybe Chaviv applies to Duchening as well. Because the bracha itself is such a beautiful bracha. You know, it would seem, I would argue, that the dispute between the Keren Ora and the Taras HaKna'os relates to what is considered a Dover Chaviv. What's considered something that I love? Is it because of its objective value? Or is it because of how rare it is? You know, there's a certain thing, it's a funny thing in Yiddishkeit, no? That there's more Kedusha for things that happen more often, and things that happen less often have less Kedusha. Shabbos has 7 aliyos. Shabbos has much more Kedusha than Yontif. Yontif has only 5 aliyos. Shabbos has 7. Yet, people feel that Yontif is much more special, no? Be'etzem Shabbos, right? Kaddish is the holiest prayer that we have, no? People don't realize. People think Kedusha is so holy. Well, Kedusha is holy. But Kaddish, the Rishonim say, is holier than Kedusha. The interesting thing is that because we say Kaddish so often, because we have Shabbos so often, even though it's extremely special, and by objective standards, it is more special than the things that happen less frequently, nonetheless has higher Kedusha. So it would, I would argue that the dispute between the Keren Ora and the Torah HaKana'os relates to this idea. Well, no, actually, Shabbos is more special than your birthday.
How is it more special than Yom Kippur?
Well, Shabbos, we have 7 alleles. Yom Kippur has only 6. The punishment for violating Shabbos is more serious than the punishment for violating Yom Kippur. Yosef Dov was born in Yom Kippur. So he's asking, how could Shabbos be more special than his birthday? Now, his question is twofold. On the one hand, it's his birthday. That's a very special thing when you're 8 years old. Also, it's Yom Kippur. Those are the two aspects of Yosef Dov's question. But the point is, the point is that things that happen more often have more Kedusha. Even though, perhaps, since they happen so often, we don't appreciate the Kedusha. So I would argue that's a machlokas Keren Ora and Torah HaKnois. Torah HaKnois is saying, Duchening, it's so holy, it's so amazing, so beautiful. Of course that's Chaviv. The Keren Ora says, no, you become inured to the Chavivos of it. It happens so often, you duchen every day. That's why, by the way, I think that for us in Chutz La'aretz, on some level, our duchening is a much more special experience than duchening for people in Eretz Yisrael, precisely because we have it less often, no? I think there is something to be said. But let's go back to Judaism. Tosfos says, someone had a comment?
Yeah, I have a question. In Tosfos, when...
I'm just trying to find out who this Am is. One second, yeah.
It's Meira.
Oh, hi Meira, how are you? Okay, you're in a different screen, so I have to get you there. Hi Meira, how are you? Yeah, you have a question.
Yeah, when Tosfos is saying like that the rules of like the two voices don't apply to the Kohanim, is that talking about when the two Kohanim are saying it, or is that apply when like the Kohanim and...
No, so Tosfos is saying that's only true when the two Kohanim are saying the same thing. In other words, if they're saying two different things, that's discordant, then of course you're not going to hear it. But if we're both saying Yivarechecha, we're both saying the same thing, so then I will say, you know what? Since it's Chaviv, since it's beloved, so therefore you'll pay attention to it.
Then the Karen Ora is arguing that that doesn't work to have
the Keren Ora saying that. How could you say that it's Chaviv? Two Kohanim give the same bracha. Right? That's not Chaviv. It happens too often. How could it be Chaviv? So Tosfos' answer that it's Chaviv doesn't make sense as the Keren Ora.
So he's not saying that you can't have more than two Kohanim or more than one Kohanim. He's just saying that the answer is not.
The answer is no. Again, well, he has to come up with his own answer to Tosfos' question, because according to the Keren Ora, if it's not Chaviv, so how come we allow two Kohanim to duchen together? Right? That question is back on the table for the Keren Ora. Right? Keren Ora rejects Tosfos' answer. So now for the Keren Ora, we have to answer the question, how come two Kohanim are allowed to duchen together? Don't tell me it's Chaviv, says the Keren Ora, because Chaviv won't help. Does this satisfy you, Meira? You're okay? Okay, Gevaldik. Now, so how does the Keren Ora answer Tosfos' question? So the Keren Ora says, you know what? I don't understand the whole issue in Tosfos. What's the problem with two Kohanim duchen together? Shrei Koli lo mishdami, maybe you're not going to hear the duchening? Says the Keren Ora, big whoop! So you don't hear duchening! The Tzibur doesn't have to hear duchening! The Kohanim have to duchen! The Tzibur don't gotta hear nothing! This brings us back to what we were saying a few minutes ago with the Sefer Charedim, no? Is there a mitzvah for the tzibur to receive a bracha? Sefer Charedim says there is. You get the impression from Tosfos, the fact that Tosfos is invoking this rule of Trei Koli Lo Mishdami, is working so hard, how does the tzibur hear it? You get the impression that Tosfos is saying, the tzibur's got to hear. The Keren Ora just throws a bomb and he destroys the whole thing. He says, no, the tzibur doesn't have to hear at all. Because duchening is a mitzvah on the Kohanim. It's not a mitzvah on the Tzibur. They do not have to hear Klal v'ikar, nothing at all, diddly squat. That is the Karen Ora suggestion. Good? So, Ms. Axelrod, how is the 5 pounds?
5 pounds is great, thank God.
Baruch Hashem.
Then why would the Gemara be so specific about saying Adji Yechla the Kohanim?
Slowly?
According to Karen Ora, then why would it be even like a din in the Gemara that they have to wait till the Amin is finished?
Yeah, so for the Karen Ora, I think you have to say, it's a very good point, I was thinking about this. I think the idea is that the Kohanim have to have a mitzvah of duchening. If the Kohanim are saying their bracha at the same time that other words are being said, so that means that they're saying something into a noisy area that might not count as they saying something. If it's two discordant voices, so I could say that's ki'ilu, I never said anything, because I don't say anything if it can't be heard. But if it's two of the same voice, that's when this issue of Trei Koli Lo Mishtami comes in, and that's where the Karen Ora has his notion that, you know what, Chevra, there's no mitzvah to receive the bracha, and therefore there are two voices. Each Kohen is saying it properly. I'm not saying it properly if I speak into a loud fan, and you can't hear my voice at all. You can't say that I was Yotzi. You can't say that I said it properly. If there's another voice, a discordant voice going on at the same time, you can't say I said it properly. But if there are other voices who are doing the same thing at the same time, so I said it properly. Maybe you can't hear it. Right? There are 50 Kohanim up in front are all saying it properly. The guy in the middle, he doesn't know which Kohen to listen to. Right? It's different than speaking into a fan. It's different than saying the words in a situation where the words cannot be heard at all. Again, I'm not 100% sure of this idea, but this is how I want to understand the Karen Ora. In the continuation of Tosis distinguishes again between two of the same sound and two different sounds. Zachar v'shamar b'dibar echa, you can't hear. Ko shofar and ko chatzotzros, you can hear. And that, Tosis says, is because the shofar and the chatzotzros have the same sound. No? Was anyone bothered by this? Shofar and chatzotzros have the same sound? Did this bother anybody? What's chatzotzros? Trumpets, no? Correct, Ms. Engel? Chatzotzros are trumpets?
I think so.
Do trumpets make the same sound as a shofar? A shofar...
That depends on what it is. Like, what if it was a shofar-sounding trumpet?
A shofar-sounding trumpet. So, usually a trumpet is metal, and a shofar is horn. And by definition, they'll sound different, no? So here's the greater little secret. Ready? Rav Yosef Kafach. He was a goyin, a tzaddik. He translated the Mishnayos from the Arabic. He was a Taimani Gadol. He was actually a member of the Bezdin. Listen to the Bezdin he sat on. He was the third dayin on the Chief Rabbanut Bezdin in the 1970s. The two other Dayanim with him, actually no, in the 1960s, the two other Dayanim with him were Chacham Uvadia Yosef and Rev Yosef Sholem El Yoshev. Okay? This is like a middle of the batting order that you can't beat, no? Chacham Uvadia, Rebo Yoshev, and Rav Kafich. So Rav Kafich tries to show from various Rambams written in Arabic, and I have no idea of knowing whether he's right or wrong, Rav Kafich tries to show that Chatzotzros and Shofar are both the same material. They're both made out of horn. The thing is that Chatzotzros are horns that are curved unnaturally. curved unnaturally. If you take a shofar and you heat it up and you bend it, you curve it unnaturally, that's called chatzotzros. But the natural curve of a shofar, if you have a shofar, you just chop off the horn from the sheep. So that's called a shofar. Therefore, Rav Kafach passed every single shofar you're going to buy in Eichler's or in Manny's or in any of the Sfarim stores, because all of our shofars that we buy are curved unnaturally. No? Every shofar, you cut it off the animal, and then they curve it. They're all curved. Rav Kafach said they're all possible, and you could buy a Taimani shofar, according to Rav Kafach, it costs you thousands of dollars to get one of these things, because it's much harder. A shofar has like a bone inside the horn. In order to get that bone out, you have to heat it up and then push that bone out. If it's naturally very curved, it's going to be exceedingly difficult to get that bone out. When you heat it, what you're doing in part is you're heating it in order to make it easier to get that bone out of the shofar, the middle bone. There's some term for it in science, the middle bone inside a shofar. You know what I'm talking about? Other yoder name, right? So the point is, Rav Kafach argues that shofar and chatzotzeris are both made out of horn. And if that's the case, I understand Tosfos, because Tosfos says that kol shofar v'kol chatzotzos einon mishunin. They don't have a different sound. If you have a different sound, for sure I'll say trei kol lo mishtami. But if it sounds the same, I'm not going to say it. Shofar and chatzotzos sound the same. That's really interesting, no? Shofar and chatzotzos sound the same. It seems to me that this is a shtickle raya to the yesod of Rav Kafach. Ms. Racklin, how are you?
I know nothing about music, so maybe I'm wrong, but I could see myself seeing two people play two things that look like a violin, and only one of them is a violin, and say that they sound the same, even if they actually don't sound the same. And someone who has an ear for it would be able to tell the difference.
Right. So I would say, like, if you go to a orchestra, there are four sections in the orchestra, no? You have the woodwinds, you have the string instruments, you have the brass instruments, and you have the percussion instruments, no? There are four sections. You can make a mistake between things that are in the same section. But a woodwind and brass, you're not going to make a mistake. They sound completely different. Metal instruments have a different sound than horns. They just sound different. I agree with you about one point. I also know nothing about music. Although when I was in YU, do they still have this? When I was in YU, we had to take two semesters of classes to like broaden our horizons. So it was either two semesters of a foreign language or two semesters of music appreciation. So the word around the Beis Medrash in those days was that music appreciation was a much easier course than foreign language. And we all took music appreciation. It actually was an interesting course. It's the type of thing I never would have understood at all, if not for that course, but I still know nothing about music. Okay, Beseder. So this is the Tosis. The end of Tosis basically says a very similar idea to the beginning of Tosis. According to the end of Tosis, the concern over here is that the person who's saying Amen won't get the bracha while he's saying Amen, because the bracha is going on. The question of Trei Kali is to hear from two different people. But me versus someone else, I always pay more attention to me than I pay to someone else. That's like a klal gadol on life, that people pay more attention to themselves than they pay to others. And that is the idea that Tosfos develops at the end. Okay, Chevra, should we go on? A little more Gemara, or any comments until here? Comments, suggestions, jokes? Okay, weiter. Zuck the Gemara. Now the Gemara moves on to halachos of Kriyas HaTorah. V'am Reb Zeir Rav Chista. Ein HaTzibur Rashan Lanos Amen HaShatich LeBracha Mipi HaKorei. The Tzibur cannot answer Amen until the Ola says Baruch Ata Hashem Nosein HaTorah. You can't say Amen too early. Again, this seems to be a general halacha by Amen. You're never supposed to say Amen too early. That's called an Amen Chatufa, according to some. But we throw it in over here because it's connected to what we said earlier by Duchening. Now, the Gemara does not say anything about the Baruch Hu Es Hashem Hamvorach, Baruch Hashem Hamvorach Le'olam Va'ed, which is used to introduce an Aliyah. The Gemara doesn't say that the Tzibur should not answer Baruch Hashem Hamvorach Le'olam Va'ed until the Ola finishes Baruch Hu Es Hashem Hamvorach. It's not exactly clear why. Probably because we're talking about the Ikar Bracha, not the add-ons. Although, again, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why the Gemara leaves that off. But basically, Reb Zeira says the name of Reb Chista, you can't answer Amen until the Korei finishes his Bracha. Vaiter ve'en ha-Korei shai likros b'toirah sheyichlo Amen mipi ha-Tzibur. After the Bracha that the Ola says, the Tzibur says Amen, and the Baal Korei should not begin laning until the Tzibur finishes Amen. The practice of Baalei Kriya is that they themselves answer Amen, and they drag their Amen on with a tune. Amen. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. They have a longer Amen than everybody else, and in that respect, they are Yotzei this halacha. Similarly, Ein Hamitargim Rashai LaHascha B'Targum Et Sheyichla Pasuk M'Pi HaKorei. In the time of the Gemara, and they still have this in Taimani communities Bizman Hazeh. One of my son's friends from when he was in MTA is a Taimani young man, and he is the Mitur Gaman in his shul, in his Yemenite shul, which is kind of cool. He actually knows Unklus by heart. Like, the Rebbeim in MTA had a great time with him. Barak! You know, what does the Targum say in this Pasuk? And Barak knew the Targum with his own Taimani tune. It's kind of awesome. But the halach is that the Meturgaman cannot begin the Targum until the Pasuk is done. Ve'en akori rashay lahaskol Pasuk acher sheyichlo Targum mipi ha-mitargem. And the Baal Korei can't begin the next Pasuk until the Meturgaman finishes. Amar Reb Tanchum and Rishua ben Levi. Hamafdir ben Novi Zarech sheyikra b'Torah tchila. Zuck the Gemara, you cannot lane Novi without first laning Kriyas HaTorah. We do not allow a person to lane the Novi unless that person got an Aliyah in the Torah beforehand. The reason for this is it will be an insult to the Torah. You have somebody get up and he just begins to make a bracha on the Novi, that insults the Kriyas HaTorah. It's like this guy says, what, Shmerel feels that Novi is so much more important than Torah? That's not proper. So we say, you know what, Shmerel? You want to lane Haftorah? First you have to lane Kriyas HaTorah. Because, right, Hamafti b'Novi tzash yikr b'Torah tchila. V'amah Reb Tanchum em Shua ben Levi. Ein Hamafti rashay lahafti b'Novi ad sheyigaleel Sefer Torah. Maftir cannot begin reading the Haftorah until the Sefer Torah is wound up. Rashi learns that you cannot begin laning until the Sefer Torah is wound up, meaning that the Sefer Torah needs mitbichol tav. It has to be covered with like its dress, because the people who are rolling the Torah should not be distracted, and they themselves should hear the Haftorah. Which means, according to Rashi, you have to finish dressing the Sefer Torah. The Meiri disagrees with Rashi, and the Meiri says the reason why you're not allowed to begin the Haftorah until the Torah is dressed is because we're worried that people will think the Haftorah is written in the Torah. So therefore, the Meiri says it's enough to just begin closing the Torah. You don't have to complete closing the Torah before you begin the Haftorah. That's the basic idea that the Meiri says. Again, it's Machlokes Meiri and Rashi. The Amar Reb Tanchum Reb Yeshua Ben Levi Ein Shaliach Tzibur V'Hashay LaHavshitet HaTeva B'Tzibur Mipnei Kvod Tzibur. The basic idea used to be that this is the Gemara as understood by Rashi. They would not keep the Sefer Torah in Shul. We keep our Sefer Torah in Shul, in the Aron Kodesh. But they kept their Sefer Torah for safekeeping in a separate house, in a locked safe or whatever. After laning, they take the Sefer Torah to the other house. You're not allowed to take the cover off of the bima. You can't take the cover off of the place where they laned right at that point because it's covered at tzibur. It's not proper to have the tzibur have to wait those extra moments until you're uncovering the bima and folding it up and whatever, whatever. So you'll uncover the bima and fold it up after davening. During davening, you take the Sefer Torah out, but you don't undo the bima. And this is called Mipnei Kvod HaTzibur, because of communal dignity. Okay, ladies, Kvod HaTzibur. Who recognizes this expression from Elsewhere in Halacha? So you don't have to recognize it so easily. Look at the Goyen HaShas Reb Kiveger from the top. He gives you three places. Abigail, where do you recognize Kvod HaTzibur from?
I'm pretty sure it's the reason that women can't read Torah.
Correct. The reason why women don't get aliyos, right? The Gemara in Megillah says that Isha is Ola Leminyan Shiva, that women technically can get aliyos. The only thing is...
1 second.
Yosef, please stop it.
1 second.
Yosef, Abba saying Shir.
1 second.
Really?
Chat.
Really, women? Yosef, please stop it. Yosef, please. Right, really, women are supposed to really meikar adin the emes amru isha ola leminyan shiva. Really, a woman can get an aliyah, avo amru chachamim that you shouldn't do it mipnei kvod hatzibur because of the honor for the tzibur. That's what the Gemara in Megillah says. Yeah. The idea of kvod tzibur. The idea of Kvod Tzibur appears also, Reb Kiva Eger references it on the top of this page, in Gittin Daf Samach. The din in Gittin Daf Samach is the halacha that I gave you in Ohr Chaim Kuf Mem Gimel, which is that you're not allowed to lain from Chumashim in Shul. When you lain Kriyas HaTorah, you have to have a full Sefer Torah. From Bereshis, from Chumash Bereshis through Parshas Vezos HaBracha, the end of Devarim. Ein korim b'chumashim b'tzibur, mipnei kvod ha-tzibur. It's not respectful to the tzibur to have kriyas ha-torah done from a separate bereshis, from a separate shemos. That's kvod ha-tzibur. That's the halacha of kvod ha-tzibur. The halacha of kvod ha-tzibur also comes up in Shulchan Aruch, that if a community wants to appoint a permanent chazan, the permanent chazan shouldn't be a little kid. The permanent chazan says in Ohr Chaim Simen Nun Gimel Se'if Vav, I gave you the Ma'ariv Makom. The permanent chazan has to be someone who can grow a beard over the age of 18, over the age of 20, to appoint a little kid as a permanent chazan. And poskim say this applies to chazan Yomim Narayim, certainly, although Yomim Narayim have even higher standards. But the permanent chazan should not be someone without a beard, because that is not Kvod HaTzibur. One of the big issues that came up years ago, and is still hotly debated, is the idea of partnership minyanim, no? A partnership minyan basically is a minyan that will say Kaddish and Kedush and Baruch Hu, because you have 10 men, and they'll have a mechitza, and they will call women up for Kriyas HaTorah. The women will get aliyahs. They'll have a woman who leads Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos has no Kaddish, no Kedush, no Baruch Hu, so a woman will lead that tefillah. And they'll give aliyahs to women. And partnership minyanim are highly problematic from a halachic perspective, in my opinion. In my opinion, they're highly problematic. And they're problematic for a number of reasons. You know, a woman leading Kabbalat Shabbat, according to strict halacha, is very questionable because Kabbalat Shabbat is usually done with tunes, and we have to concern ourselves with the dinim of Kol Be'isha Erva. Now, I understand that there are some Rishonim who assume that Kol Be'isha Erva is only when it's like a type of sexual singing, when it's licentious, when it's meant to arouse. But that's not the mainstream in Poskim. The mainstream Poskim in the Rechayim, in the dinim of Kriyashma, when we talk about Kol Be'isha Erva, is that Kol Be'isha Erva applies to any Kol Shiur. Now, I understand that major poskim have been makal on Kol Be'isha Erva in the Israeli army. That they allow the Talmidim of Yeshivat Hester to go to concerts where women get solos, etc. It seems to me that that's really not proof of anything, because what you're trying to do is build army morale. If you're going to have the Hesderniks not attend the social events, you won't create a cohesive unit in the army, and you're fighting together. And the reason why you're willing to put yourself at risk is because of your buddy next to you. And to any extent that there is a divide between you and your buddy, that can create problems. So when Rav Moshe Lichtenstein is makel on the soldiers going to the army performances, he has an article in Tradition a number of years ago and elsewhere, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein's rationale is because, yes, b'shas hadachak, we can rely on those Rishonim who say that there's no Kol Be'isha Erva unless it's like a type of sexually provocative singing. But I don't know if relying on that for Kabbalat Shabbat on the regular week is really proper. So, again, this is the world according to me. Feel free to disagree, by the way. And if you are uncomfortable...
Can I ask a quick question about Felicia?
Yes.
So everyone also uses that for... Well, not everyone, but like I've heard also the same argument about depending on the content for, let's say, Broadway shows.
Correct.
And like I know a lot of why you guys all talk about like which of the why Rashi was be okay with it or not, but it seems like a lot of them are okay with Broadway shows, which I argued back to them, but I don't know.
Again, this is an issue. There are different ways of saying it. One way of saying it is that sometimes people do things which are not 1,000,000% halachically correct, even if they have the title rabbi before their name. Another issue is that in Broadway shows, the assumption is that you're far enough removed from the people, you'll never have any connection to them, so the idea of connecting in an arayo sort of way is less likely. Again, this svar does not resonate with me, but that's one of the svaras that people use. There were very fine, wonderful, massive Talmidei Chachamim who themselves attended Broadway shows. I don't know a full-fledged halachic justification for it. If you're interested, Rev. Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha, once wrote a letter to the editor in the foreword about Rav Soloveitchik's approach and Broadway shows, whatever. The reason why that letter is very funny is because the forward copy editors changed the word Chazal, H-A-Z-A-L, to Hazel, to H-A-Z-E-L, and like the whole thing makes no sense if you read it as Hazel, but Rav Aaron wrote in a letter about that. So one of the things about partnership minyanim, which is questionable, is the Kol Be'isha. But giving women aliyot is a even greater halachic problem. The argument to give women aliyot is that you read the Gemara that there were two stages in history. Stage one in history is that women could get aliyot, right? But emes amru isha ola lemingin sheva, aval amru chachamim not to do it. If that's the case, So then you're saying that there was a time in history that women could get an aliyah, and then you look at a Tosefta that doesn't have the second half, and then you make a Hoshtekot Torah. That's one of the approaches that Rabbi Mendel Shapiro has. There's a book about human dignity, Kvod HaTzibur, or something like that. So that's his argument. Rabbi Jeremy Weider has a blog called rabbijeremyweider.blogspot. And I think the only post that he has is on this issue, where he tries to show from Shas that the expression of Aval Amru Chachamim never means that there was a historical change. In every case in Shas where you have the expression of Aval Amru Chachamim, that means that they were thinking of doing it, but they decided not to. That would mean that there was never a time that women really got aliyot. That is Rabbi Weider's argument. Okay, Givaldic. But let's go on. The argument to give women aliyot is as follows. The argument to give women aliyot is that the Gemara says women can't get an aliyah because of Kvod HaTzibur. Well, let's say that Tzibur is Meichel. The Tzibur says, you know what? Kvod HaTzibur, we give up. We're Meichel our Kvod. I could be Meichel my Kvod, no? We're Meichel our Kvod. And therefore, we're okay with women getting aliyot. So what could be the problem? What could be the problem? So the issue comes up, though, is Kavod HaTzibur Meichel Obol? I don't know how you say that in English. How do you say Meichel Obol? But can you be Mochel on Kavod HaTzibur? Not at all simple, no? Not at all simple. If you look in these sources here in the that I give you, in Siman Nun Gimel Sef Vav, in the din of that you can't appoint a permanent chazen who doesn't have a beard, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Tzibur is not allowed to be mochel. The din in Gittin Daf Samach, which appears in Eirech Chaim Siman Kuf Mem Gimel, that you're not allowed to read Bechumashim, Mipnei Kvod HaTzibur, you can't use one of the five books of Moses to lean from. You need all five to be attached to each other. Mipnei Kvod HaTzibur. The Bir Halach over there quotes a big machlekes haposkim, whether you can be mochel. The Taz explains that it's possible that Kvod HaTzibur is non-mochel abal, because the Taz says Kvod HaTzibur doesn't mean that we as a group have a degree of kavod. Kvod HaTzibur means that we as a tzibur represent what the Ribono Shel Olam wants. Right? I could get you the Taz and read you his expression. This Taz is in Kuf Mem Gimel Se'if Katan Beis. Taz writes in Kuf Mem Gimel Se'if Katan Beis up the Taz. Second, did I give the wrong Maramakam? The Taz basically writes, I am not finding the right place. 1 second. I think I wrote down the Maram Makom wrong, so I have to find it later. I'll send the Maram Makom around later. When I find it, I wrote it down wrong, obviously, because I'm not finding it right now. But the Taz says that Kvod HaTzibur isn't my own individual kavod I could be megel. If you have a tzibur which represents 10 individuals, 20 individuals, they could be meichel. We could all decide. But the tzibur that represents Torah, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's values, so it's not shayach to be mochel on that. So you know what? You're going to say you want a lane in shul with a chumash. You want a lane in shul with one of the five books of Moses, not with all five. That's an insult to the tzibur. That's an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an objective insult. It's not your own kavod. It's covet of Torah, it's covet of Judaism, it's covet of what shul standards should be. And that's why the Taz is machmir over there. The Taz is machmir because he says, you know what? That's not proper. It's not proper. Oh, it's Kuf Mem Gimel. One second. Oh, the Taz is Nun Gimel Sifkaten Beis. That's why I couldn't find it. It's Nun Gimel Sifkaten Beis. The Taz writes... The Taz writes in Simen Nun Gimel Se'if Katan Beis Azoy. Right, Mipnei Kvod HaTzibur, you can't appoint a chazan who doesn't have a beard. This is what the Rambam says. And the Beis Yosef says if they want to be Meichel, they can. But the Rosh says they can't be Mochel. Udevarv Temuim, Devadei Afla HaRambam Lo Mahani Mechila. Says the Taz, even the Rambam would say that Mechila won't help. Devadei Kvod HaTzibur Kazeh Hu Kvod Shamayim. Kvod HaTzibur over here is not Kvod HaTzibur as individuals. It's Kvod Shamayim. Shemiskavnim L'chaber HaKshem Yisparach B'shat Shehu Ro'oi Lios Meilo Yitzvara Kahal. You're trying to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Chaz and with the Shatz, who's fitting to stand in front of the kohol. It's an honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a shat who's more of an adult, who's not a little kid, etc. And this is the same idea that we have in Perek HaNezakin, in the Gemara in Gittin, of Ein Kohen B'chum Mashem B'tim Nekvod HaTzibur, V'kosvu HaPoskim, Shelo Zachru, V'lo Zachru HaPoskim, that you could be mochel. Why not? Because it can't be mochel. Because it's Kvod Shamayim. Now, the question as to why women don't get alleles, when the Gemara says, Isha lo tikra v'tzirut nekvod hatzibur, why is that, is a hard question to answer. Do people want a full shiur on this? Like I could go on for a while, or we could stop and I could just send you to Rabbi Meiselman's book, and maybe we could discuss it by email after.
Okay.
Okay, show of thumbs. Yosef Dov, you gotta get... You know what, I think Yosef Dov wants us to stop now. Maybe if the Olam could email me, I'm happy to continue this shiur. It is an important topic. I'm happy to continue it. There's more Gemara to learn as well. If you want, we can email it. We could put it on the shiur WhatsApp group to have a conversation about it. I think it could be an interesting conversation, especially if people are not reticent to share their opinions. It will not scare me, whatever you hold, whatever you think. Baruch Hashem, I can handle the pressure. So I'm happy to have a sheer WhatsApp conversation about this. Look at these Mar Makomos that I gave. The Makoros about whether Mechila is Shaykh by Kvod HaTzibur. Look at that Taz in Simen Nun Gimel Se'if Katan Beis. And then we'll try to apply it to women's Aliyot and to see whether the Tzibur can be Mochel on the Kavod based on the rules that the Taz sets out. Does that sound like a plan, ladies? Judaism is good? That has to be right. You have to give a thumbs up for Judaism is good. That's pashat. Okay?
But actually, you just said that women can get aliyot. Not the best time.
What? Judaism can still be good. Even women can't get aliyot.
I know.
Come on, Temi. Right? Listen, that's a much longer conversation. I want to have that conversation. How can Judaism be good if women can't get aliyot? I'd love to have that conversation with you. I might totally lose. And you might come up saying, well, it's not good. Got it. But I would love to have that conversation with you. Okay, Chavra? Let's have a good evening and Zeigebenched.
Thank you.
Thank you.